The leading question: should the federal government set standards for voter qualifications in national elections? From Washington, D.C., CBS Radio presents The Leading Question, a spontaneous and unrehearsed transcribed discussion. Now, here is the moderator of the program, Paul Niven.
The United States Senate is caught up in what some members call extended debate and others term a filibuster. The issue is a proposal to compel the states to accept a sixth-grade education as proof of literacy as a voting qualification in federal elections. Proponents say the bill is necessary to end discrimination against Negro citizens. Southern opponents contend that the measure is unconstitutional because only the states are empowered to set voter qualifications. Our guests today are Senator Jacob Javits, Republican of New York, and Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat of South Carolina. Our leading question is, should the federal government set standards for voter qualifications in national elections? Senator Thurmond.
Well, I'm glad to be on your program and glad to be here with my friend, Senator Javits, who is such an able lawyer and a very prominent member of the Senate. Of course, I am opposed to the legislation now pending in Congress. The Constitution delegates no authority to the national government in the matter of voter qualifications. On the contrary, it specifically adopts the qualifications set by the individual states as the necessary qualifications for the right of suffrage in national elections. The right thus conferred is a federal right subject to the protection of the national government. But the class upon whom this right is conferred is determined solely in accordance with state law. The provisions of the Constitution relating thereto and the many state and national government statutes now on the books are more than adequate safeguards of the right of suffrage for those who are qualified to vote under the provisions of the state law. Further, the qualifications established by the states are subject to the provisions of the 14th Amendment in the manner in which they are applied as well as the actual wording of them. Any legislative enactment by Congress establishing voter qualifications or dictating to the states what shall be necessary to satisfy the requirements established by the states is a clear violation of the Constitution, regardless of the guise used as an attempt to justify that action.
Senator Javits.
Well, I think this legislation should be adopted, and I think it's constitutional. And the reasons are that a widespread abuse of the literacy test has been demonstrated, and that when that abuse has been demonstrated, and the Attorney General testifies, as he has, that he is unable, by case-by-case litigation, to bring about the end of that abuse, and the Congress has, under the Constitution, the right to protect the purity of the voting process and the interests of the people of the United States. Now, the United States Civil Rights Commission has found as a fact that thousands upon thousands of Negroes in the South and 100 counties from the Atlantic to the Mississippi are being disenfranchised by the arbitrary application to them of literacy tests, many of which may be valid on their face, but which, as applied to Negroes, discriminate against them and prevent them from voting. And under those circumstances, the United States has the right to protect the elective process, especially as it relates to the election of senators and congressmen, officials of the United States, and the 14th and 15th Amendments give the Congress expressly that power, and it should now be exercised.
Senator Thurmond, do you accept as fact the Civil Rights Commission finding that Negro voters have been discriminated against?
Well, I would not accept that because that is judging by my state, certainly. The Attorney General sent FBI agents into South Carolina and the three counties, McCormick in Williamsburg and Clarendon counties, and as a result of investigation down there for some length of time, no action whatever was taken, showing that there was no discrimination in my state. So if my state is typical of the other states, I'm sure that that such condition does not exist.
Well, certainly Senator Thurmond's state, and I would like to repeat my pleasure at being on the program with Senator Thurmond, who is gracious enough to say that. He's a spirited opponent, and though he and I differ, there's no reason why we cannot respect each other, and we do. But the Federal Civil Rights Commission found expressly, and I use its words, a common technique of discriminating against would-be voters on racial grounds involves the discriminatory application of legal qualifications for voters, page 135 of the Commission's report of September 1961 on discrimination in voting. And that was backed up by the Attorney General, who said as a fact that it's too time-consuming, expensive, and difficult to litigate in each state in order to correct the situation, that some generic test must be applied. Now, it seems to me the only real question in this matter is a sixth grade education a reasonable test of literacy? And I believe that it certainly is.
Well, in answer to that, I would say that the Civil Rights Commission reminds me very much of what took place down in the Health, Education, and Welfare Department a few years ago. They claimed there was a shortage of classrooms in schools of over 400,000. And then later, they revised their figures and finally ended up with about 120,000, showing how erroneous they were. And I feel that this Civil Rights Commission, they found what they were, they made a conclusion, rather, as to what they wanted to find, just like the Health, Education, Welfare Department did with regard to the classrooms. These government bureaus and agencies can generally find make a recommendation on what they want to find. As a matter of fact, though, of course, the situation, I think, is not in accord with that at all. But I want to say this, that we've got to remember that the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. Now, I have quoted from Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, and this also was reincorporated into the 17th Amendment as Section 1 of the 17th Amendment. And so there's no question under the Constitution, and we've got to go by that. That's a basic law, and Congress cannot pass a law that conflicts with the Constitution. The Constitution provides that voting qualifications shall be left to the states. That's clear. Decision after decision has sustained that position. And then a few moments after Senator Javits has answered this, then I shall be glad to go into further matters on that point.
Well, now, there are two points that have been made. One is that the factual findings of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission can be waved aside. I'm sorry, but I cannot accept that. This is a commission composed not just of Northerners, it's composed of Southerners, too. They were 3-3, 6 members of the commission, equally divided. Yet they found unanimously that these conditions existed in at least 8 southern states, and this is intolerable for our country. And second, and very importantly, these same 6 unanimously recommended precisely this law, which is now before us as the remedy that they prescribed. Now as to the legality. Our southern friends are very gracious, but our southern friends seem to prefer to forget that the Constitution consists not only of the article read by Senator Thurmond, it also consists of the amendments adopted after the Civil War. And one of those amendments, the 15th Amendment, says, and I quote, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude," unquote. Under that amendment, the Congress has passed many civil rights laws, and the Supreme Court has sustained, for example, laws which, that is, has stricken down laws which sought the lily-white primary, so-called, to confine a primary election only to white citizens. It has stricken down a law which sought to redistrict, for example, Tuskegee, an area redistricted in order to omit Negroes. It has sustained the constitutionality of the Civil Rights Law of 1957, which was directed toward giving the Attorney General the right to sue in order to enable him to get for Negro citizens their right to vote. This is nothing novel about what the Congress is being asked to do here. We've done it before. We've done it in even greater detail, and the courts have necessarily sustained it because, as I say, the Congress has the final authority to implement the fact that the 15th Amendment shall not be violated. Under the color of prescribing the time, place, and manner of holding elections. And that's precisely what this literacy test bill, which is before us, seeks to accomplish.
Senator Thurmond, what is your interpretation of the amendment, 15th Amendment?
I want to answer this question first about the Civil Rights Commission. I want to say that the 1959 report of the United States Civil Rights Commission, Commissioners Hanna, Hesburgh, and Johnson recommended the adoption of a constitutional amendment which would outlaw the use of literacy tests. Now, catch that. A constitutional amendment. Now, they didn't say a statute. Now, they are men who favor abolishing the literacy test, but they recognize that you'd have to have a constitutional amendment. Now, Senator Javits's bill and the other bills pending now before the Congress, in which we're going to debate this week, will attempt to do by statute what these people recognize they couldn't do. I think it's significant that even such partisans as those members of the Civil Rights Commission, who obviously favor abolition of literacy tests, believe that a constitutional amendment will be required to accomplish it. Now, we must keep in mind that, after all, we must obey the Constitution. And I want to say again that the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, and again in Section 1 of the 17th Amendment provides, the electors in each state, that is the voters, shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. Now, this principle has been sustained in Newberry versus United States, 256 U.S. 232, and also, and in that, I want to say that this point was made, that the qualifications of the voter is determined by the law of the state where he votes. So that's clear. That's a United States Supreme Court decision right on the point. And another federal decision, in Ventry versus Ryder, it is held that under our constitutional system, the qualifications of voters is a matter committed to the states, subject only to federal constitutional restraints prohibiting discrimination on account of race and color. And this decision also holds that whether or not a voter is a qualified elector in a state is a matter to be determined by state law and state courts. So it's clear, it's right on the point. And also another federal case in Darby versus Daniel, it's held that qualification of voters is a matter committed exclusively to the states. Now, these are Supreme Court decisions and federal decisions that uphold the constitutional provision that the matter of fixing voter qualifications is left to the states. And Article 1, Section 4 provides the time, places, and manner of holding elections shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. And there's no decision that upholds the contention of Senator Javits here in this debate. There's no Supreme Court decision, there's no federal decision that I know of that upholds this provision, because the Constitution is clear, it's so clear on this point, that the qualification of voters is left to each state. Therefore, that is our position.
Well, now let us cut through all of these words and get down to the basic substance. In the first place, let us tackle both arguments. Senator Thurman says that three members of the commission said there should be a constitutional amendment to eliminate all literacy tests. But he doesn't say, and he can't say, because six members of the commission did not unanimously recommend this particular statute to make a sixth grade education an absolute test for literacy, because they did. And that included the northern and the southern members, and that's all we're arguing about here. This statute, not a constitutional amendment to eliminate all literacy tests. On the contrary, a statute to make a sixth grade education standard for literacy, unanimously recommended by all the members of the commission, north and south alike, as a statute, because they saw as Americans that it's wrong to use literacy tests to disenfranchise other Americans. And second, Senator Thurman says the right to vote is to be exercised according to the laws of each state. I agree, unless the laws of each state are administered or loaded to disenfranchise citizens, where that has been proved, as it has here, by unanimous finding of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, the Congress may, indeed it is the duty of the Congress, to legislate in order to see that the citizens are not deprived, against the Constitution, of their right to vote. You know, it's interesting, citing cases is a little boring for an audience, but some words are so eloquent that they're worth repeating. In a case decided in 1939, the United States Supreme Court said in Lane against Wilson, 307 U.S. 268, a lawyer's way of describing where you find it if you want to read it, the reach of the 15th Amendment against contrivances by a state to thwart equality in the enjoyment of the right to vote by citizens of the United States, regardless of race or color, has been amply expounded by prior decisions. It hits onerous procedural requirements which effectively handicap exercise of the franchise by the colored race, although the abstract right to vote may remain unrestricted as to race. Now, it seems to me that that is precisely on the point and adequately answers Senator Thurmond's statement that there are no cases which give the Congress the right to enact this kind of legislation. The Congress has the right to protect the franchise of Americans. That's why we fought a civil war, and that's why we passed the 15th Amendment. And when state laws will not do it, then the Congress has the right to come in and say how it shall be done, provided it's reasonable. And this provision for a sixth grade education is reasonable.
Senator Javits can't get around the Constitution of the United States. He knows he's too good a lawyer. He knows that the qualifications of voters are left to each state. Article 1, Section 2, I repeat again. The electors, that is the voters in each state, shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. Now, he spoke about the 14th Amendment. Well, the 14th Amendment is a negative amendment, so to speak. In other words, while the state law is supreme, it is subject to the requirements of the 14th Amendment. It must not abridge privileges and immunities, nor deny due process or equal protection. And we admit all of this. But the constitutionality of literacy tests have been upheld in Lassiter versus Northampton County Board of Education. And in this quote, literacy and illiteracy are neutral on race, creed, color, and sex, as reports around the world show. Now, the Civil Rights Commission he's referring to now is a different commission from 1959. Each year that's gone by, this Civil Rights Commission has gone further and further. And now it looks like that they are willing to violate the Constitution, as some other people are to pass statutes. But the Constitution of the United States is still stands, and that's the basis. And furthermore, I want to say that under Article 1, Section 4, that where there's a rule of law that has specific language, that this controls if there's a conflict with more general language. And certainly this specific language in the constitutional provisions controls if there's any question at all, which we don't think there is in the question. Civil rights cases are limited to congressional enactments under the 14th Amendment to prohibit certain state actions and did not give power for general legislation. Now, the remedy, if anybody's violating the law, is to proceed under the present statutes. Why, I hold in my hand here six criminal statutes: conspiracy against rights of citizens, deprivation of rights under color of law, intimidation of voters, interference with voting by officers of government, expenditures to influence voting, deprivation of employment or other benefit for political activity. And there are 9 civil provisions under which one can proceed. So let's don't abrogate the Constitution, ignore the Constitution, and try to pass a law by Congress. There's ample law now to proceed if the Attorney General wants to proceed. There's ample law to proceed under the criminal provisions or the civil provisions either.
Well, Senator Thurmond, the one thing that I don't want any audience to ever forget is that it is you, not I, who want to get away from the Constitution. Why, Senator Thurmond, you wouldn't even read the right amendment. The 14th Amendment is not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 15th Amendment, which says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Now, the Attorney General himself testifies, fortifying the findings of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, that you cannot redress this grievance of the disenfranchisement of Negro citizens by the improper utilization of literacy tests unless you pass a general law. We many times pass general laws where individual case-by-case suits just won't do the job in protecting Americans and their rights. And under the 15th Amendment, we are charged with a duty to pass a law precisely like this one where there is such an errant and arrogant use of the power of the literacy test to disenfranchise voters. That's precisely what general law is for, and the best evidence is that the Attorney General himself is before us pleading for precisely this law.
The same principle applies. Again, I say, we've got to stand by the Constitution. Again, I say that we have laws on the books now, plenty of laws. If anybody is violating the law, and if the Justice Department doesn't prosecute them, then they're failing to do their duty. Anyone can bring a criminal suit, or he can bring a civil suit if he claims he's denied the right to vote for literacy or any other test. So there is ample law on the book. And this question about letting Congress pass a law that will overrule the Constitution is perfectly ridiculous. I just don't understand how any good lawyer could suggest that Congress pass a law on this subject when all of the Supreme Court decisions and the federal statutes have held to the contrary, and the Constitution is as plain as it can be on the subject.
Senator Thurman, the Congress is under a duty to pass a law in order to carry out the Constitution, and what you refuse to accept is that the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, which will prevent any Negro from being disenfranchised, must be enforced by law, and that the Congress is under a duty to pass such a law where it finds, by a responsible commission, unanimously finding that fact, that thousands upon thousands are being disenfranchised under color of literacy tests, it may move into that situation and correct it.
Gentlemen, if we may turn from what from the merits of the argument to what is likely to happen, Senator Thurmond, will the Southern forces resist this as long as possible?
Yes, I want to say this, too, on the 15th Amendment, too, that the 15th is negative in nature, the same as the 14th, and that 18 U.S.C.A. 242 provides for deprivation of rights under color of law. There's ample authority to enforce these laws. The Southerners will fight this bill to the last. We are fighting for the nation. It just doesn't apply to the South. We're going to have a lot of support from other sections of the country in opposing this bill.
I say that I hope the administration will throw its full weight into this struggle in order at long last to effect cloture of debate after reasonable debate, which I should say would be a couple of weeks, in this matter. The Southerners have never faced a cloture of debate in a civil rights measure. If the administration is really serious and acting in complete good faith in pushing this bill in the Congress, it will throw its full weight
behind getting the necessary votes
for cloture.
Does that mean that no administration has ever had the votes to impose cloture on civil rights?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, the fact is that we have not had cloture ever on a civil rights bill, and it's high time.
Have you got the votes this time?
One cannot tell. We should have them, and I believe we will have them if the administration will throw its full shoulder to the
weight. I think I can answer that. They don't have the votes, and when the showdown comes, they won't have the votes, because it will be a violation of the Constitution of the United States, and the senators, I don't believe, are going to go that far. I don't believe they're going to permit cloture either.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining in this discussion of our leading question.
You have been listening to The Leading Question with Paul Niven as moderator. Today, Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat of South Carolina, and Senator Jacob Javits, Republican of New York, discussed the leading question, should the federal government set standards for voter qualifications in national elections? Produced by Ben Flynn and originating in Washington, D.C., The Leading Question has been another broadcast recorded in the public interest by CBS News. Only a station affiliated with CBS Radio can bring it to you. This has been a public affairs presentation of CBS News on the CBS Radio Network.